Good evening and welcome. Tonight all the scriptures that I read will be taken from the New King James Version. And this is a continuation of this morning. And this morning we talked about God's call to mankind while we live and breathe. We talked about what one must do after choosing to answer the call. We determined that the call was two things. An invitation by the Father to partake of the blessings of redemption. And secondly, God's invitation to man to accept the benefits of salvation. So tonight, let's continue to discuss God's roll call. Listeners, judgment day will happen, whether I want it to or not. Judgment day will happen, whether you are ready or not. And I'm reminded of a song I used to sing at church camp, and it's called Someday. And no, I will not make any of you listen to me sing, but I will read one lyric from that song. Gotta be ready when he calls my name. Gotta be ready when he calls my name someday. And someday God will say, it's time. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 31 and following, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. Are you ready for that day to come? On the judgment day, a roll call will take place. Some names will be on heaven's waiting list. Several names will be on hell's list. And hopefully I live my life to make heaven's list. Look at Hebrews with me, please. Getting a little tongue-tied tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We all know Hebrews chapter 11 to be the great faith chapter. But I want to read verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 11. Starting in 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. Do you desire a heavenly country? Are you living your life acceptably? And as with this morning's lesson, there is more information than time available. But for time's sake, and your sanity of already having to listen to me once today, I offer up these few brief points. Major point number one. Do you believe? Judgment is inevitable. So the question is, do you believe? Consider the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13. Not all hearts are receptive to the word of God. Recall Agrippa and Felix from this morning. Sometimes you just have to move on. What do I mean by that? Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 6, and I will try to explain myself some better. In Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 7, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He also said to them, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.'" Some people just aren't ready to listen. Some people's hearts are just not ready to listen. And yes, I know every soul is very precious and important. I would never deny that. But until one's heart is ready, they will not heed the call. Teenage class, what is the heart? We talked about this morning. The mind. Let me give you an example of this. My old buddy Bob's here tonight, and he's listening, but he's not ready. So I'm going to help him. Tonight, Bob is getting baptized. I recall my hand-to-hand combat training from the Army. I step down from here. I forcefully grab him, drag him into the baptistry. I completely submerge Bob. Remember, baptism is full immersion. I pull him up out of the water and I say, "Hallelujah. Brother Bob, go in peace." Now that is a super extreme story, I know. But consider this. Is Bob truly baptized in that story, or did I just get him wet and possibly push him farther away? Well, the answer is wet, obviously. Bob's heart must be in the right place. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and starting in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Do you treasure the gifts of heaven? Or do you treasure this old sinful world? Major point number two. No second chances after death. No second chances after we die. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 27. Hebrews 9:27 and following. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. What about the story of Lazarus? We won't read it tonight. But the story of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There's a rich man. There's Lazarus. They live very separate lives. When they die, they go to very separate places. What does the rich man want? He wants Lazarus to dip his fingers, give him just a few drops of water. He wants someone to go back and warn his brothers, change your ways, don't end up where I am. There are no second chances after we die. A couple verses to help drive this point home, and then I will move on. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. We all know Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, but how about verse 14? For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Matthew 12 and 36. Matthew 12 and 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Adults, oh, be careful what aged lips you say. Myself included, James warns us of the power of the tongue. Romans 14 and 12. Romans 14, 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Short, simple, but to the point. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, and then we'll move on. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's kind of a Debbie Downer point. Not very uplifting, kind of scary, terrifying. No second chances after we die. But God being a God of love brings me to major point number three. Chance and second chance while alive. And while neither you or I can avoid the second coming, we can make our calling and election sure. Let's look at 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, the first chapter, the first verse, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Following the teachings of Christ, having faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love can make your calling and election sure. But what if I stumble? How many chances will the Lord grant? In truth, no one deserves a chance or second chance. Jesus Christ went to the cross because I am a sinner. But we have a loving Father who should be honored every day. And my Father is abundantly rich in grace and mercy. And that is why you and all have a chance and a second chance to go into heaven's beautiful gates. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Luke 15, starting in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 into the wilderness and go after one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is going to make us do a math formula. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 7 times 70 equals 490, even out in Cameron. So you're saying I only get 490 chances, and in that 491, I'm out of favors with God. No, 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 no. It is not like that. It is unlimited forgiveness. If we are truly repentant, we must strive to be faithfully obedient to God's will. My last and final point. I know if you're counting, that's four. Tony would be so ashamed. Judgment Day. When every knee bows and tongue confesses. And I have more verses here then that clock is going to permit me. So I will read a couple of them to prove our point. How about the first psalm? Psalm 1. The first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I'm not going to read this one for the sake of time. But in Daniel chapter 7, he has a prophetic vision. And it's very likened unto the final judgment day. But I will read two more, conclude, and then offer the invitation. How about the book of Jude? The book of Jude, verse 14, verse 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. our scripture reading from Matthew 25. The whole context was verse 31 through 46. Some hear, good job, well done. Some hear, depart from me. What are you going to hear? Well, it depends on how you live your life here. In conclusion, heaven is waiting for all, but not all will be there. Make your soul be one that hears, well done, enter in. Enter into a place where there is no suffering. Enter into a place where there is no pain, no sorrow. And just like Tom Hanks said that there's no crying in baseball, there's no crying in heaven. Enter in. Enjoy God's hospitality, if you'll permit that phrase. But if you or I are not faithfully obedient, you could hear very different words. Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Those words on judgment day will send your soul to hell, a lake of fire reserved for the devil and his angels. It's your choice. That concludes my lesson. But it is truly, as every time, my humble honor to be able to extend to each of you the invitation of our Lord and Savior. If you have not been baptized yet, I can promise you this, it will not be like how Bob got baptized in the sermon. We have a baptistry ready, willing men ready to serve you. Wash those sins from your soul in the watery grave of baptism. If you've already been baptized, you have something hindering you. If you need prayers, if you need to publicly repent, come here in just a moment. That can be taken care of as well. If you need prayers of encouragement, for this old world can tug you, whatever need you have, please come now while we stand and sing.